Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio. Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Good morning and welcome to A Heart for Worship on Soul Sister Radio on Soul Sister Sunday. And this is your host, Becky Phillips. I just want to thank you so much for tuning in this morning, and it is pre-Christmas Eve, so I want to wish everybody, since we will not be on the air, or at least I will not be, on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas. I know that we are in the midst of the last couple of shopping days, so I'm sure everyone is out there going crazy trying to get their last-minute shopping done. And it's just a crazy time out there. I just want to say thank you first, as we're winding out this year. Thank you to our sponsors, Rebecca Lawler Limited, Spa Gyms, and B&B Builders. you have been so gracious this last year in providing a mechanism and a vehicle for us to bring God's word to people all over the world. And who does that? I mean, that's such a rare and to me an exquisite blessing, because not a lot of people get to do that and have the honor of being part of something special like that. So I just want to say thank you so much to our sponsors who have allowed us to continually, week after week, bring this message to those that are listening in the archives or online. I'm sure that many lives have been changed by God's word and his Holy Spirit that's touched them through this show, and we're grateful. We are going to take today and I was going to do the book this morning. We've been following Not a Fan by Kyle Idleman, and I was going to go back into studying that because we took a pause last week in honor of the shootings in Newtown, Connecticut. And as we're still recovering and the nation and the city's still just trying to get back to normal life as we know it, I was going to get back to the book, but we're in the holiday season. And to me, I love this time of year because I love Christmas trees, I love lights, and I love my Christmas music and candles. Those are my favorite things during the holiday season, spending time with family and all that fun stuff. But I know we can get caught up in the shopping and the gift giving, and sometimes it can be burdensome, can I see that word, to some folks that maybe can't give what they want to give or maybe just are financially bound and are unable to provide what in their mind they didn't want to provide. And I just want to take time today and let those folks remember that the reason we're here is because God knew we needed a Savior. And so he sent his Son by the Holy Spirit into this world through the birth of that Mary gave birth to this Savior that we needed. And it's a miracle. It was a miracle. It was something that only God could do. And I think we need to just take time to honor that and respect that. And so the book will come back next week or after the new year, depending upon, where the week falls. So I just wanted to let everyone know that we will be continuing in the book. I know that the week that we're missing right now, which it's really funny, it's about passionately pursuing after him and how God pursues us. And I think today's music that I picked, I just hope you're so blessed by it, because, when I read that chapter, and we'll be going into it about, passionately pursuing God, we need to have passion to pursue him like the wise men did. And I think that's where I'm going to leave you before we go into our music. We need to have passion like the wise men did, who followed a star to find baby Jesus. And so I just want you to sit back and enjoy the music. Be blessed. And we'll just close this out in prayer when we're done. I just want to spend a little time in prayer after the music. So sit back and enjoy the Christmas music. Thank you.
that your baby boy would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby
flight. Rejoice.
Father, we thank you so much that you knew before the beginnings of earth that we were going to need a Savior. We thank you so much, Lord, that that Savior was sent through your Holy Spirit to be born and brought forth, Lord, from a beautiful woman named Mary who heard your voice, who knew, she knew that the cross that she had to carry, Lord, and she did it willingly, Lord, because she loved you so much. Thank you to Joseph, Father, that he didn't care. He worked through it once the angel came to him, Lord, and together Joseph and Mary followed your calling, Lord. And there's so many of us out there that run from our callings, Lord. They run from the purposes that you have for us. And then rather than running from you or to you, they run from you. And I just pray right now for the hearts that they would turn their hearts back to you and they would run to you. There's a reason why in the story of baby Jesus and his birth, why they're called the wise men. They were wise. They knew that star shining in the sky was meant for a season and a time, and they didn't want to miss their visitation. So they did whatever that they had to do, Father, to seek out the new king. And Lord, I just thank you so much that can be and still is available to all of us today, Father. We still have the ability to pursue you because you are still pursuing us. And so, Lord, I just, in this season of giving, in this season of celebrating the birth of your son, regardless of what race and religion and place that we come from, Lord, it's all about Jesus. And we thank you for him, and we thank you for his life, and we thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you were willing to give him to us. And Father, I just pray right now for the lost ones out there, Lord, and those that are hurting and still trying to just move forward one foot at a time in Newtown, Lord. May your Holy Spirit presence be just surrounded around them, Father. I just pray for the victims of that families, and I pray for the shooters' families, and I pray for the shooters' moms' families and all the victims that have just been hit by that tragedy. It's still so new and so fresh to them, Father, and it's hard to look beyond what's happened to remember that we still have a Savior that came and died and gave us eternal life so that we could be with those that we've lost here on this earth in the future, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are holy and merciful and good, and we can go and spend time and give to others, Lord, and show them the love of Christ, because that's what it's about. He said that it's about love, and his gospel is peace. So right now I just ask peace from your Holy Spirit to go throughout the world and the nations today and through this holiday season, and that you would just bless those with your peace. We thank you so much for all that this season means, in Jesus' precious name, amen. If there's anyone out there that doesn't know or doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, that would like one, and that just feels a tugging on their heart to just give their life over to Christ, it's real easy. You don't have to do a lot. He'll come in and do everything for you. Just repeat after me, Father, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I believe that your son was born for a purpose and a time, and he came and he died on the cross for me so that I could live with you in eternity. And I believe that, and I accept him as my Savior, and I ask him to come in and be the Savior of my life and clean me up and change me into the person that you have created me to be. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you said that prayer, just know that you are saved, and God has a purpose and a plan for you. And if you don't know which way to go and what to do or where to start, just stay tuned and continue to listen to Soul Sister Radio. Call in, talk to us, get on our Facebook page, email us. There's ways to reach us, and that's what we're all about. We're about discipleship and teaching people what it's like to have a relationship with Christ. So please tune in to Church Reboot. They're coming up next. God bless.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hey, sheeple.
This is Jimmy James, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Sunday. Our host, Maria Magdalena, redefined what fellowship is in 2012. So, if you've been hanging out in those dens of iniquity, Jesus is in the house, waiting to reboot your definition of church and uplift your spirit on Soul Sister Sunday.
Got some dreams.
welcome to Soul Sister Sunday. This is Maria Giovanni Magdalena Gomez. We also have the beautiful Rebecca Lawler from the East Coast in Virginia. We have my brother Dean from Anaheim, California. I'm going to turn you on mute, Dean, because I hear your background. And Becky, what an amazing show you had this morning. First, before you go, I know you're listening and you're not feeling well, but I want to send you a special blessing. Your show was amazing, my beautiful friend, as always, and it rings in the Holy Spirit for us all, and we are blessed by you. So I know that you're going to stay silent, but if you want to say hello, are you there? You may have been on mute, but that's okay. Rebecca, I know you're there. How are you, beautiful?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. How's everyone this morning?
Everyone.
Nice to be here. Well. Great show. Great early morning show that Becky did.
Yes.
Gorgeous on the East Coast. Couldn't be any prettier. And wow, what an amazing show we had 2 days ago. Was honored to be on that. Was a blessing for me.
It was a total blessing to be able to share that moment, and even though we were in the middle of it, I went back and I was listening to all the church bells ringing on Friday morning, and what a blessing to be able to be a part of that. And Dean, I know you were there bright and early, which isn't normal for you, so thank you, my brother, and welcome to the show this morning.
Good morning. Yeah, that was rough, but it was great. I really appreciated being there.
Yeah, it was super nice. And this morning, I know you guys have probably never heard that song, Rise Up Shepherd and Follow. That was by Vanessa Williams, and I love that woman. She truly is inspiration to me and all that she's overcome. But Rise Up Shepherd, we are so in the middle of talking about discipleship, and Magdalena has been on that course. And we will be going back to the book that we are working off of, but today we're really focused on the discipleship of us being shepherds. Notice it didn't say rise up sheep and follow. It said rise up shepherds, because we really want to speak to those that are really taking care of those sheep out there, as we all are sheep, of course, but there are some, there are some of us that are called to be shepherds to those sheep. And that's the sheepies. So that's what we are here, and I really want to focus on speaking to the shepherds that are watching and tending, especially to all the children and all of those who have lost in Connecticut, or period, who has ever lost, because we have a lot of first families that have lost children last year that are experiencing the loss this year for the first time. So real quick, I want Magdalena to go ahead and say hello. And welcome back. I'm sorry you missed the show last week, but you had an amazing time, as you and Rebecca are now ladies under the Imperial Order of Constantine the Great and St. Helen. So both to you, Lady Rebecca Lawler, and now Lady Magdalena Gomez. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. Why don't you say hello? Welcome to our sponsors, to all of our listeners. And you missed our listener last week, Lorna. Hello, we see you in the chat room, my beautiful friend. Welcome back, and we want to just thank you for the support you were for us last Sunday when my jaw wasn't working at all. So Magdalena, why don't you go ahead and say hello and open us up in prayer.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. And every day is a blessed day. And Maria was just talking about, you know, that she wished that Christmas would be sometime later in the year. And I said, well, why can't it be Christmas just every day? And it just reminded us, because there's a person that I visit in Laguna Beach, and he has a Christmas tree in his office, and it's there 24/7, 365, 66 days a year. And because truly he says Christmas is every day, and that should be our everyday attitude, that, you know, we only think about it for a season, and it's true, because we get so distracted. But being true followers, really, we celebrate his birth every day and his death, because he died for us. And we are so grateful for the gift that God has given us, and we are truly blessed. And the show is really blessed by the women who are part of it. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for your heart and everything that you do for the children. And I know that if you were in Connecticut, you know, you would have done, and you would still do so much for the families there, because that's who you are. And And Becky, I know that you are under the weather, but may God keep you warm and that you may be snuggling with him. Like I actually definitely made a comment last night that I was smuggling with the Lord versus snuggling. And I just pray for your comfort and your peace and for your healing. And thank you so much for our soul sister, Lorna, who is listening in. And thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for your wisdom and your insight. And we are so grateful to have you be part of the show. Thank you for our soul brothers, Jimmy, and for Dean as well. Can't wait to hear their new show, the Jimmy Dean Show. And because really we are people who are on fire for God, and we are truly blessed. And just like Mary was blessed in the Bible, I know the Holy Spirit is covering us in his arms of protection, and that he is allowing us to have the show. He's allowed our sponsors to support us. And again, to Rebecca Lawler, to Bobby the Builder. He's kind of like a Build-A-Bear. He really has an amazing heart that God has transformed and is working amazing things through him. Thank you so much to Spa Gems, too, as we start kicking off with Spa Gems. And we just pray for those blessings. And Father God, we just want to say how honored we are that you are our Father in heaven, that your love shines upon us, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, Father. And I just pray for us to forgive, Father, because truly that is the greatest gift that we can give ourselves, forgiveness. And for those who are hurting right now, that may be feeling a world of guilt or whatever it is on their minds, on their conscience, Father, that they can surrender their worries to you so they may know the true gift of your love, your peace, your forgiveness, your grace. And I just pray for those, Father. I pray for the families that have lost their loved ones, especially little children, whether it was in Connecticut or those children with illnesses that have cancer and have terminal illnesses, Father. Please be with those families. Please shower them with your love and to let them know that miracles do happen, Father. And it reminds me of a family here in Orange County that was hit by a drunk driver and lost all three of their children. And a few years later, God blessed them with triplets, and each of the same. And it's truly a miracle story, and it's true, Father. If we trust in you and your time and have patience, really, it's everything that we learn here in life is about patience. But truly, Father, we are here to be your servants. Please, Father, give us the heart and attitude of a servant, that we are here to give to others, and that our reward is in heaven. So it doesn't matter what we go through here in life, the hard, the good. I mean, we will experience everything, and hopefully to develop the character that we need to be servants for you, Father. We love you. We thank you so much for this time. Please bless the hearts and the ears that are listening to this show, Father, that they may open up their hearts to entrust you in their lives and just surrender so that you could be the chauffeur, Father, and we could just sit back and praise you and let you work your miracles as you always do, Father. Thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you so much for your love. You are amazing, all-powerful, almighty, and you're my Father, and I'm so happy to call you Father. We love you, and your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And there's the prayer warrior, as you always are. And it's such a blessing to have you back. We missed last week, Magdalena. We are going to be talking today about the blessing of the birth of Christ. And right now I'm going to ask my mother. I'm not sure, but somebody's wearing high heels in the background. Rebecca, we're going to talk about Mary. And as a mother, I want to ask what you felt like, or how did you feel as a mother knowing that you were going to give birth to Christ?
Say that again, Maria. I only got half of that question. I'm sorry.
That's okay. As a mother, tell me,
yeah,
how you felt knowing that you were going to be giving birth to the Son of God.
If I was a mother and I was going to be giving birth to the Son of God,
how would you have felt?
Oh, my God. Like how Mary felt? And actually, that's what you're asking me then, right? How Mary Magdalene felt?
How?
Oh, my goodness. I probably would have been mixed with fear. Am I good enough? Really, am I going to do this? Joy, gratitude. I think it would have been multifaceted because that is, as we know, the angel came to see her and told her that you would be having, you know, and she was not married at the time. And, I mean, I just sort of had a mixture of feelings, just almost like, you know how it is when you have when you're getting ready to have a baby anyway? You're afraid,
yeah.
You're scared, you're excited, you're, like, looking forward to meeting this amazing child that you're getting ready to have. You're scared that you're not going to be able to be good enough. So I can only imagine just knowing that I was going to be having the son that was going to save, the savior that was going to save the world, I would have been totally just mesmerized, to be honest with you, and filled with many feelings.
Exactly.
How do you feel about that? Would you feel the same way?
It's amazing because Magdalena was reading earlier something that I want her to read. Because I was thinking to myself, my gosh, what she must feel like at this moment all those years ago. Here she's pregnant. What type of woman, what kind of disciple was this woman? She was, and she was barely a woman herself. I mean, she was just a young child that was barely 14, 15 years old. So I want to really study for a moment before we go into our next song, Mary, Did You Know? I want Magdalena to share what type of person Mary was for that angel Gabriel and the Father above to come to this person to ask her to be the mother of this child.
Well, first I want to share in the scriptures, this is after she had visited her cousin Elizabeth, and she had a song, and it's in Luke 1:46. And I mean, this really describes her character first and foremost before we go back to a little bit about her history. It says, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." And this just goes to show that Mary was very well versed in scripture. She took to heart God's word. And here she is basically quoting history, that she knows that God has uplifted the humble and has brought down the proud. And so it just goes to show that she is somebody that took his word to heart and she rejoiced in him. She recognizes that she needs a savior. She says, "My heart rejoices in God, my savior." And although she is favored, obviously, by God amongst all women, she knows that she, too, needs salvation. And the salvation was going to be coming from her womb. And how amazing and beautiful is that, that God chose to send angel Gabriel and give her this most amazing news. And yet her heart goes to show that she says, you know, "For he has been mindful of his humble state of his servant." She's always had the heart of a servant to be giving. And although she was full of fear when this angel appeared to her, she, you know, she said, if it's pretty much God's will, then this is what, you know, she'll do. And this we read in verse Luke 1:38. She says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be as you have said." Then the angel left her. So she's saying, you know, if it's God's will, that, you know, it is what it is. And how amazing for her to have been chosen, because it says here that every Jewish girl prayed to be the mother of the Messiah. Mary loved God and wanted to serve him with all of her heart. But she was just a poor girl in an insignificant town from a humble family with no great expectations that her life was going to be any different from her mother's or that from any other woman in her town. In her day, a girl was betrothed when she reached puberty, and it usually was a year before she was married. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. They would be married within a year. She was spending this last year in her home learning how to be a good Jewish wife and mother. Joseph was a carpenter, hardworking and responsible. He was a kind man, and the more Mary knew him, the more she appreciated his sensitivity and his greatness and gentleness to her. Life would be good with Joseph. She was glad that her parents had made such a good match. And if we read about the genealogy, we both know that they come from honorable bloodlines, all connected to King David. And but we see it in Luke, we see the genealogy through Mary, and in Matthew, we see the genealogy through Joseph. Yet our Savior was chosen from an honorable line, even though some of the people in the bloodline weren't the, you know, live the perfect lives. Everybody has a story, and a story of change and repentance and coming to embrace the Lord. And I think all of us walk that in our lives. It's just really to learning to walk the walk, you know, climb the rope and keep persevering, because this is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus.
We're going to go ahead and play now.
May I add something to that? That was brilliantly said. What Magdalena just said. It amazes me how God picked just this little girl who was Jewish to have his son. A simple person, simple life, nothing big, nothing grand. You know, he didn't go pick a royalty or anything. And that is what is so amazing to me, because his walk on this earth, how grand and great Jesus is and was and sits in heaven with God. When he came to earth, he was just a carpenter. And he chose just to be a simple man. And that is, to me, a really big lesson in recognizing how important it is for us to be humble, and how we walk on this, and how we deal with our things that, you know, come up and all of that.
This next song, I want everyone just to sit back and listen. I know that you've heard it before, but really, if you are that woman that is sitting there and the angel is coming to you asking you if you want to do this, you really have to stop. Did she really know? And really, I believe that Mary did know.
Deliver you, Mary, did you know?
what an incredible, incredible feeling to be the mother of the child, and how amazing as a woman. We're going to move into how it feels to be able to hold this child in your hands. Wow, what could it have possibly have felt like as all the king's men were coming? Dean, are you there with us now?
Yes.
we didn't know if I lost you or not. I want you to share with the audience from your perspective as a man, how you think you would have felt if you were Joseph and Mary came to you. Now you're getting ready, finding an inn. You can't find any place. How do you think, as a man, he handled this whole situation all those years ago?
Well, I think he handled it just like any other man. What he didn't believe, her that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, you know. He believed that she cheated on him. That's a normal man's perspective. Some girl comes up to you and says, "Oh, I got great news for you." And you say, "What, my fiance, my virgin love?" And she says, "I'm pregnant." You're not going to be too happy about it. So we got to keep that in mind. It took an act of God for him to change his mind, because at the end of the day, he chose to quietly make her disappear, according to the scriptures. And back in those days, that meant you took your little girlfriend out and had her stoned, killed her. It was a way of aborting the child, number one, and it was a way of getting rid of your unfaithful, betrothed girlfriend. So you got to keep that in perspective. Now, after an act of God happens, he has an awakening and realizes, okay, I have to believe her. I do believe. You know, he has to, you know, make a decision on whether or not to abide by the census that was proclaimed by Herod. And that meant that he had to go back to his birthplace, which fulfilled scripture and opens the door to, as Magdalena said, the linearity and the line that was created with Joseph and Mary's bloodline. And that brought them back to the city of David's birth, which is Bethlehem. And back to the original question, the not a place at the inn. We have to realize what we're talking about here. As we already know, a census was taken place, and everybody had to go to their place of birth. So, for example, I would have to go back to the city of Orange. I was born here in the city of Orange at St. Joseph's Hospital. I don't know where you were born, Maria, to be, you know, as sad as that is after all these years. Where were you born, my sister?
I was born in Anaheim, right by Disneyland, at Martin Luther Hospital. That is no longer the
hospital.
Yeah.
And I was born at St. Martha's Hospital in Belvedere.
Where is Belvedere?
Belvedere.
Oh, where's
not to be confused with the vodka.
Okay, well, we're not.
We have a census being taken place, and with that, they have to go back to that city. And you have a situation where there's no rooms left because everybody's back at the city, and the only thing, and the translation is, there's no room in the upper room. So they had to take the lower room, and back in the old days, that meant you had to hang out with the animals.
Okay. I love how you know all these, this verbiage, the higher, the upper room or the lower room. That's go ahead.
No, well, that, you know, that is the actual translation. There, the guy comes out and says, there's no room in the upper room. And that was a place where people, because if you, heat rises, and you lowered your ovens would rise, so you would make your place, your living quarters, above the lower quarters. So let's say your garage, it's kind of living like at the beach where you lived over your garage, and the heat rises. They do that. So that's what it meant. There's no room here at the in the upper room. So there was no place where there was heat for Mary. It's very important. So another, you know, another little piece of verbiage that's important here is that the use of the word swaddling cloth. You know, we think that we've characterized that as some great, that's rags. You know, Jesus was born in rags. He was covered in rags. Swaddling cloths were actually rags that you used to do the nasty things in a barn. And so you can just imagine the Savior who should have been born in a kingdom's castle, but he was chosen to be born in a barn in swaddling cloths and rags. That's incredible.
That's going to bring us
and
right.
I'm just adding to exactly what Dean was saying. And if you sit back and you take a breath on that, that was perfect for him. Do you know what I'm saying? He could have been saying anything, but he came to meet us, our sinners, is exactly what that was about. He came so that he can relate to just everyday people like us.
Thank God, right?
You know, to the sinners of the world. And that was his calling, and that was his mission, and it was to spread love, and it was to spread forgiveness. And that is the Christmas story in my heart.
Amen. Hallelujah. And that's going to bring us to the next song, which Lorna, I told you, my beautiful soul sister, that you were going to hear this song more than once, and I chose this particular version because of the children, okay? Rebecca, your heart is all about the children. Dean, bottom line, is here to change children and their perspective. So I want you to sit back and listen to this little girl who is 7 years old, and she sings this song like the angel that I know that she is, and I just close my eyes when I hear her little voice, and I can hear all the little children of Newtown singing with her, along with Gracie, and along with Danielle, and along with Jesse, and all of those children that are in heaven waiting for all of us to join them, because it is one of the most holy nights. So just sit back and listen to this child sing, "Oh, Holy Night."
Savior's birth. I send special prayers and special blessings out to all the parents that are hurting right now, just to know that they are in, these children are in the greatest of hands, and they know no pain. They are feeling no suffering. They are happy with our Lord, and it is a holy night just to know that these children are safe in our Father's hands and in His kingdom heaven. And I just want those parents to know, because I can feel them. Magdalena, you wanted to share?
Yes, one of the amazing things about Mary's attitude, her humility and everything, was her great faith in God. And her faith was really solidified when she went to visit Mary. But before I read that part in the Bible, I want to read the section in which the angel does appear to her. Or this is as they're having their conversation in Luke 1:35. It says, "The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month.' And the angel said, 'For nothing is impossible with God.'" And it's just, Mary was excited to hear that not only is she with child with going to be with child with God's son, but that her cousin who couldn't have a child is in her sixth month. So it says that Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. It is said to be about 80 miles away. So she, she had a trek, whether she walked or took a camel. I mean, she made this hike, And she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." So Mary was not only full of grace, but she was full of faith. She believed, and it is in her believing that she took this, this trek to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and for Elizabeth's baby to jump in her womb, like he was like celebrating. He's like, "Woohoo!" Because he is the one who is prepared to set the way for our Savior Christ Jesus. And the confirmation that Elizabeth addresses her, why is she favored that the mother of the Lord should come to her? So there, it's validation that she is the chosen one. She was the little girl who prayed as a little girl to be the mother of the Savior. And what an amazing gift God bestowed upon her. And it's truly the gift that God has bestowed upon us to share the word and who Christ Savior has been for each and every one of us in our story. And so each and every one of us is a Mary and or an Elizabeth, because we need somebody to keep us accountable and to really have us believe that God has a greater purpose for us.
That's bringing us right into our next song. And Rebecca, I know that you are going to relate to this song just like I related to this song, just like Magdalena is going to relate to the song and those in our chat room. I hope you just sit back and listen, because sometimes it's the smallest things and that little mustard seed of faith that, wow, the gift that God can present to us may be in something that we don't know. And it's those little prayers, Rebecca, that you prayed as a little girl, just like Mary, and that I know that I prayed, and that I know Magdalena prayed, and those are our gifts. And sometimes that little gift is all we have to offer during this time. And I know there are a lot of people right now that are hurting, that have no money to go out and buy gifts. Trust me, I know that I know how heartbreaking it is not to be able to give and be able to purchase something for your children. Know that sometimes God gives you something that's just a little gift and you don't even know. And it's sometimes I think it's those dreams that we had as little girls that are our gifts.
A poor orphan girl named Maria was walking to market one day. She stopped for to rest by the roadside, where a bird with a broken wing lay. A few moments passed till she saw it, for its feathers were covered with sand. But soon cleaned and wrapped it was traveling in the warmth of Maria's small hand. She happily gave her last peso on a cage made of rushes and twine. She fed it loose corn from the market and watched it grow stronger with time. Now the Christmas Eve service was coming, and the church shone with tinsel and light. And all of the townfolk brought presents to lay by the manger that night. There were diamonds, incense, and perfume, packages fit for a king. But for one ragged bird in a small cage, Maria had nothing to bring. She waited till just before midnight, so no one would see her go in. And crying, knelt by the manger, for her gift was unworthy of him. Then a voice spoke to her through the darkness, Maria, what brings you to me? If the bird in the cage is your offering, open the door, let me see. Though she trembled, she did as he asked her, and out of the cage the bird flew, soaring up into the rafters on a wing that it healed good as new. Just then the midnight bells rang out, and the little bird started to sing a song that no word could recapture, whose beauty was fit for a king. Now Maria felt blessed just to listen to that cascade of notes, sweet and long, as her offering was lifted to heaven by the very first nightingale's song.
sometimes you have nothing to give, and that faith that's the size of a mustard seed is what we have to offer. And I know that that is all we need to have sometimes. And I know that God is just waiting for us to give him that gift of our faith and believing in those promises that I know that I know that I know that are true. And Magdalena, I actually want you to read Matthew 1:21 as she Bible thumps to Matthew 1:21, because this truly is the scripture of this season. And I'm going to have Rebecca close us out in prayer, because we're going to end with a song. And so I want Magdalena to read this prayer, and it's Matthew 1:21.
She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay. What a wonderful gift.
What a great gift. And Rebecca, I would like for you to close us out in prayer as we get ready for Dean's show, Sinner Sanctuary. And we are going to actually have a show on Christmas morning. We may even do it on Christmas night. I'm just not sure yet. It's just we're going to have a slumber party where we've invited Jimmy James and Dean and Robert to come over and open up the home. And Dean is actually going to make us a wonderful meal. And so we're going to be blessed this Christmas holiday. And so, Rebecca.
Okay, I'm coming to California. That's it.
No.
I'm booking my ticket tomorrow.
We have the
Dean and Jimmy are going to be there, and you guys are going to be there. I'm on my way.
I'm telling you, it's been a long time since I know that I've had a Christmas tree, and Magdalena and I are just going to wrap, you know, presents and be little girls, and we've invited the boys to come over, and it's just, we're going to be soul sustained all night long. So if you could close us out in prayer, that would be amazing.
I will. I'll do that in a second. And I just want to say, like, the truth about what I feel Christmas is, it's about us all loving each other.
Amen.
And the gift of, you know, the Jesus in our lives right now, and what he has given us, which was his life, so that we could have everlasting life. And so with that being said, I think that's the most important thing for us all to focus on, and around the world, people, you know, if you don't have money or you don't have this or you don't have that, he was about love and he was about forgiveness. And as I was going through my New Year's resolutions for the year, that was at the top of my priority. So with that being said, I'm going to close this out in prayer. Great show, Maria. Bag. It was awesome. Dean, thank you for being here. And Becky, you always inspire me more than you could ever realize. And so, Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for all your many blessings that you so bestow upon us on a daily basis as Christmas approaches. And as we have been talking on the show today about the little angels that went to heaven, I pray for their families and just the people that were left here that love them so much, for that tragedy. And just, Lord, I ask as we approach 2013 to really be focused on how we put an end to abuse and making a difference and educating and changing that. Lord, I thank you for my friends that are on the radio with me this morning and for all that they add to my life. And I thank you for them so much, that they make me a better person and that they really love me. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about love and forgiveness. Lord, bless us as we move forward through this week. Thank you. It's Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone, to all of our listeners that follow us weekly. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. We've been on this show now almost for a year, so I'm very grateful and very blessed for what you've done with this show through your Holy Spirit and your love and your light, that we are able to do this every week. And for those who come together and do it, even when there's other things to do, is just a true, an amazing part of why we're here. Bless us, Lord. Keep us. We love you with our whole heart. We're so grateful and thankful. And as Christmas approaches here in about 48 hours, may we recognize the meaning of that. May we realize what it really is about. May we love more. May we give more. May we understand more. And may we be better to carry out your ultimate goal, which is to allow people to know how much you love them. Forever grateful. I love all of you all in his precious name. And if there's anyone who doesn't know you, Lord, it's a simple prayer. It is just about believing that you were on the cross and that you died for their sins and that you love everyone. Thank you for Mary. If it wasn't for Mary, we wouldn't be here today as we opened up the story today about her. May her life and her blessings and her calling, she was just an amazing woman. And in your precious name, amen.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlor Limited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Well, welcome to Sinner Sanctuary. I am your host. My name is Dean Milo. And I want to thank you for being here. Obviously, I think we're all coming off a pretty tough week with everything going on in back east, us doing the radio program. It's been really tough. I want to thank Maria for doing the special program on Friday morning. The bells ringing really, brings home the reality of the loss that we all felt. And I think it's probably a lot more difficult for the ladies out there, especially mothers. I think I realized that, just being on the news and Facebook and watching the reaction. I know it's difficult for men in this situation, but I think it really struck a real tender nerve with the women across the country. I think being put possibly all in that position of losing a kid or saying goodbye to your kid, putting him on a bus, and that's the last time you see them. It brings us back to the reality that, evil exists in this world, and kind of come to grips on how we're going to deal with it. Which leads to a little bit about today's show. I wanted to kind of bring it all back to full circle, why we're here and why we call this the Sinner Sanctuary. And so I wanted to talk today about the biblical account of the massacre of the innocents. And this is a narrative, a story, a truth. And one of the great things about the Bible, it's always constantly being ratified and certified by later archaeological finds and so on. And it's one thing about being a Christian, it's always great because you can use reason and historical documents to back up your faith. Many years ago in Jesus' time, in biblical times, there was a form of hierarchy that was almost savage, and even holy men, kings of nations, that proclaimed believing in God and reading the Bible would perform such a horrific act. I'm talking about King Herod. He was an extremely, extremely powerful king, still under the authority of Rome, though. Rome was extremely smart. The Caesar of Rome was extremely good politicians. Not only were they rulers of phenomenal armies and constructors of incredible roadways, but they were really smart when it came down to politics when they governed other countries. They allowed other countries to keep armies. And in turn, they allowed other countries to have kingdoms. That's why a lot of people get confused in the biblical tale and the narrative of Jesus was, who was King Herod and who was Caesar? Well, Caesar ruled from Rome and King Herod ruled his kingdom in Judea. Caesar allowed King Herod to have domain and dominion over his people. But make sure you understood that King Herod had to toe the line with Caesar. And Caesar made sure of that by sending a person that governed King Herod. That's where we get the famous Pontius Pilate, who we talked about in this sanctuary. So you have a form of almost a hierarchy and ruled by an iron thumb in all aspects of authority. From Rome ruling the roads, imagine back in the old days, it must have been great to be ruled by Rome in certain aspects. If you needed to get somewhere, you could go. Why? Because the Romans built roads. And safe roads as that. Just like when you read old fairy tales and the King's Highway back in England. The King's Highway meant that road was safe. And if any highwaymen or any thieves came on there, that was a death sentence. So believe you me, the King's Highway was a safe road, as with Roman roads. So living under Roman rule wasn't also bad living in the ancient world. Well, this leads us to our story, which we're going to get into after a short break here in a second. We're going to get into the story and why King Herod chose to murder every child in the region 2 years and under, all with the flick of a switch. There's no switch back in the biblical days. All with the blink of an eye, a command of a sword. We're going to talk about that today. We're talking about the massacre of the innocents, bringing it full circle from what we've been through in the last week, understanding why, kind of coming to grips with reality then and today. So that's what we're going to be talking to about in the sanctuary this morning. We're going to take a quick station identification, and we're going to come back with a couple commercials. And we'll see you back here in a minute.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited Limited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Well, welcome back. I want to throw out a couple messages from our sponsors. First, I want to shout out B&B Builders. You know, when you need anything done, I don't care if it's small remodel jobs, a simple brick, laying job, anything. I don't care. Robert at B&B is the best. He sponsors this program. Without him, we wouldn't be here. So I want to shout out to him. And his number is 949-933-0937. Tell him that Dino sent you. Okay, and I'll double make sure that the job gets done correctly. So just make sure that you understand if you need anything done, we can help you there. Also, shout out to my main man, Jimmy James. He's at the Wind and Sea in Dana Point every Saturday night. So if you get a chance to get out there, please give him a holler. And if you need anybody to do any type of DJ work, some music, ambiance music, a setting situation, rock, funk, you name it, Jimmy's the man. Tell him that Dino sent you again, and I'll make sure if you do show up, hey, you never know, I may show up. I like to thank Rebecca Lawler Limited, too. Without her, we just wouldn't be on. I'd like to big shout out to Surf Pro Santa Ana. Any flood situation that happens in your house, you guys, really, they're the best. And you know, with this crazy weather we're having right now, you know, any situations that come up, you smell something funny, you smell some mold, you got mushrooms coming up from your rug, you call Surf Pro Santa Ana and tell them that Dino sent you from Reboot Soul Sista. I appreciate that. So, back to the tale. We talked about why possibly something as tragic as what happened this week, last week at the school, how does that reflect to today? Well, it reflects in a lot of ways. It reflects in the fact that as humans, we still can't get it right. As humans, we still fail, whatever the reasons. There is a lot of blame to go around for this tragedy. We talked a little bit about the blame and the media and who's at fault here. Is it a gun? Is it a mother? Is it a society? Is it a video game? Is it a leader? Well, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around. It's all of them. But more importantly, it's you and me, the sinners. We live in the world we create. This is us. We chose to be in this. We chose to build this. We reap what we sow. We allow our sons to watch video games that glorify the killing of people. It numbs their senses. And then we're so shocked that Columbine, Virginia Tech, Connecticut. This isn't rocket science. Our leaders are flabbergasted. They want to snap judgments, rile the fools. I love that term. All of a sudden, they have the answers. They're willing to throw away all logic. Because they figured out how we're going to save a kid right now. Well, it's too late. The kids are dead. Columbine happened a long time ago. We haven't done much since then, obviously. We still got twisted young boys with high-powered firearms, with plans executed almost to perfection, like in a video game. And this leads us to what we have 2,000 years ago with King Herod. The loss of power will threaten you, me, to do unimaginable things to innocent people. Herod, being a very, very smart individual, had very wise men around him, and those wise men knew that the Christ Savior, the Messiah, was going to be born. Gave Herod almost the exact date. Herod knew that the Magi were on their way to greet this Savior King, Messiah. He had to do something to eliminate the power that was coming for him. He didn't understand that Jesus' power had nothing to do with armies. He didn't know that. That was one of the mysteries of it all. Herod didn't understand that concept. He thought Christ was coming to take his throne in a military-style form. So just like in the world of the animal kingdom, when a lion confronts another group of lions, he fights it out with the main pack lion, kills that lion. What does he do? He goes right after the cubs and eats the cubs. And with the lion's cubs sacrificed, the breath of the dead lion's cub, this is getting heavy, but the breath of the lion's cub triggers estrus in the female lion to have another child. Ooh, scares you. It's okay. You're in the sanctuary. But Herod was that. Herod chose to do what a lion would do. Sacrifice the innocent to keep his kingdom so no infant child could grow to maturity and come and take his throne by the sword. He didn't understand that the concept that the Lord was going to be born in a manger, in swaddling cloth, in rags, sacrificed at an altar on Golgotha with no pomp and circumstance. He didn't understand that concept. I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. You got to go for the throat. That's, you know, another term, a little fun fact, another fun fact for you. Go through the throat. That means it's done. That's what they did with the kids. See? It was easier for the Romans. It was easier for the Herod's soldiers. You grab the kid, you slice their throat, you drop the kid, they're dead. There's no much whining. There isn't. You know, the only wailing you hear is of the females and the wives and the mothers. So Herod chooses to go for the innocence of the kids. Every child, not only in Bethlehem now, but all the kids in the surrounding areas, all the way to the coastline. That's what the King James says. That's a lot of kids. If you just do the math in Bethlehem alone, probably around 20 or 30 kids. You only go by those math, by legitimate numbers based on the population of Bethlehem at the time of Christ, probably around 1,000 to 1,500 people. So to say, if you do those numbers, you have 1,500 people, there's probably 20 or 30 kids that of that age between 2 and under. So 30 kids just in a small little village, let's say the size of Main Street in Disneyland. So pretty small we're talking about. Then we add all the kids in the countryside. So let's add another. Let's try not to bump up the number too much, but let's say another 100. So we got 135 people, kids, killed because Herod believes that the Christ King has been born, and to eliminate this Christ King from reaching maturity, forming an army, and coming and taking his position as king and ruler of Judea, Herod enacts one of the most evil things you could do on your own kingdom. The massacre of children infanticide, it's called, like genocide. There's actually a word for it. When you decide to kill all the kids, there's a specific word. This isn't, and it's not new. Hitler performed it. We know that. Hitler killed 3 million children. So, when we're talking about the massacre of children for political gain, out of fear, there's a lot of evidence points. We knew that Herod was under tremendous, tremendous types of worldly living. It's noted many times in historical fact, in the Bible, most likely just as with all the other situations when you're talking about the massacre of children, talking about drugs, talking about alcohol, you're talking about the devil infesting the mind of the powerful to commit acts of treachery against kids. Now, this ties in because it's so important that we talk about how this ties in with Christ. Simple. Back to the road that we talked about earlier. The road to Rome meant that you were able to travel from place to place. So Pontius Pilate, the procurator of Judea, the person that actually washes his hands and puts Christ to death, that same power structure allows Jesus to flee with his family, Joseph and Mary, the carpenter and the bondswoman. As Magdalena said earlier, you know, Mary, you know, basically gave herself up. The translation is a bondswoman, basically a free servant, a free slave, a slave that chose out of her free will to be a slave. So Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus, upon hearing the word of an angel, flee. Herod is going to come and kill you, and he's going to kill every kid look at just to find you. Through that road, that Roman road, the same type of governance that killed Jesus leads a baby Jesus out of danger. Without that Roman road, that flight to Egypt. Now, Egypt is under the Roman rule also at this time. So Jesus, his family, here, a warning, and Joseph being so smart and so diligent in God's word, what does he do? He immediately packs up, heads to Egypt through the Roman road that's been paved by Rome, and saves his kid from the treachery and the murderous, sick act of Herod. He saves his child through the power of Rome, through the road and flight to Egypt. Couldn't have been done in that fast of a time without that road. So here we go full circle. An incredible story. Hundreds and hundreds of kids killed to save our Savior. Through the power of Rome and the way they built roads, the flight of Egypt happens. Joseph takes his kid out of the danger, out of the ruling area of Herod, and Jesus fulfills the prophecy of becoming the Messiah and ruling throughout all mankind as a Savior for our sins and as a lamb and the blood sacrifice. The blood sacrifice, unfortunately, also was the cost of all those children. But through the power of Christ, there is a purpose for it. Well, I want to thank you for joining me today. I want to extend an offering to join us on Christmas for our special program. And we're going to be back with another program. We're going to get back into what I promised a couple weeks ago. I'm going to fulfill that promise. And we'll see you next week. Thank you for joining me, Dean Milo and Sinner Sanctuary.
Soul Sister Radio.